Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Amen. You can take a seat. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we get to be in your presence this morning. You are holy. You are worthy. There is no one and nothing else like you. You are unmatched. And we just pause in this moment to say that we worship you. God, I pray over these next few minutes that you would just speak to us, tune our hearts and our ears to hear what you want to teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. How is everybody? Making it on Time Change Sunday? If you don't know me, my name is April Colquitt. I'm our children's pastor here. And if you have been visiting us for the last few weeks, I want to be real clear. I am the children's pastor, not the lead pastor. And I promise today's the last day. I know you guys are getting tired of me. Trey will be back next week. But we are wrapping up this series today called Breakfast on the Beach. And I'm going to need y'all to be with me today, okay? This is 11:30. 8:30 and 10, we're still a little asleep, but it's 11:30. Are y'all awake? Okay, good. I need y'all to be awake with me because I've done this twice already on 1 hour less of sleep. So y'all get with me, okay? We are wrapping up this series. I want to ask you guys a question. Has there ever been anything that you got so excited, like something new that you tried or a new restaurant or something that you just got really excited about and you had to go tell everybody about it? Yeah. It could be like a restaurant, a new menu item, a new snack at Trader Joe's that you're super excited about. Or yeah, some of you guys are like Trader Joe's fanatics, I know. And when that happens, we want to tell somebody about it. For me, one of those for me is when we moved from grocery pickup to grocery delivery, that changed my life. Amen. If you are still doing grocery pickup like it's 2019, you need to get with the program. Walmart Plus is amazing, okay? So sign up. I'm not a spokesperson, but I'm just telling you, it'll help you out a lot. I want you to think about what is that thing for you that's changed your life, that's some life hack, something that's made your life better. It could also just be like something happened on your way to church this morning and you're dying to tell somebody about it. You know, that stuff happens too, where like something crazy or something really funny happened and you can't wait to talk about it. Turn to your neighbor. You have 15 seconds. You can tell them. Fill them in on something they have to know about right now. Okay. I'm sure I will get like three or four of you who will message me after church and tell me the thing that I have to know about. And that's okay, because what happens is when something has changed our life or when we get really excited about something, we just naturally want to talk about it to people, right? And the thing is we don't have to have a script or be a marketing expert in order to talk about that thing. We just tell about our experience. And today, as we wrap up this series, as we're going to learn from our friend Peter, he had something that he just could not stop talking about. Peter has become that guy who can't stop talking about creatine or sourdough starters. Do y'all know any sourdough starter people? Are there any in here? It is like all the rage right now. Eric went to get his haircut yesterday. This is so off topic. Eric went to get his haircut yesterday, and when he came home, he was like, so my hairdresser was telling me that she's gotten really into, and I said, sourdough starters? And he said, how did you know that? And I was like, I don't know. Everybody is into that. It is like the greatest thing right now. I do not take care of sourdough in my spare time. But if you do, good for you. Peter has become really into something that he can't stop talking about. And that thing is Jesus. That person is Jesus. He can't not talk about Jesus. And so if you've been with us for the last few weeks, you know that Peter is sort of our new friend here. We have been sitting with Peter on the beach over these last 3 weeks and listening in on a conversation that Jesus had with him, a very personal, private conversation around a charcoal fire. Jesus meets his disciples on the beach. He makes them breakfast, and he has just this personal moment with his disciple Peter. And John, the other disciple, was one who listened in on this conversation the first time. And when he wrote his stories about Jesus, he decided to put this conversation at the very end of his story. And so we've just been observing and seeing what we might learn from that very personal moment between Jesus and Peter. And what we've discovered so far is that Peter is evolving. He has begun, we saw in week one, where he sort of started as this very ordinary, kind of know-it-all fisherman. And now he's begun evolving into this faithful follower of Jesus. But it didn't happen in a single instant or overnight. Just like us, Peter had a lot of ups and downs in his walk of faith, in his life with Jesus. Sometimes for him, it was three steps forward, two steps back. And through all of these moments, all of these experiences, Jesus kept meeting him with grace. Even through every failure, through every misunderstanding, Jesus met Peter with grace and grew him. And so if you've been in, missed any of these last few weeks, go back to our app and catch up, because what we're learning through the life of Peter is something about our own spiritual growth. As Christians, as followers of Christ, our goal is to become like Jesus. And what we've been understanding is we don't become like Jesus by sheer willpower or just trying our hardest or getting it perfectly or knowing everything that we should know. We become like Jesus as he grows us in grace. We've been saying every week, God's grace shapes every step of our growth. It's not about our perfection. It's not about us performing our faith or getting it all exactly right, making every decision perfectly. But instead, it's about trusting Jesus as Lord, surrendering to him, and depending on him every step of the way. And when we do that, he shapes us. As we trust him, he shows up in grace to accomplish things that we never thought possible. He restores us daily, and he gives us new strength to say yes to his path for our life, which is what we talked about last week. As Peter continued in his path with Jesus much later, he wrote two letters to the early Christians and the early church. And in those letters, I would encourage you to go read 1 and 2 Peter. They're near the end of the New Testament. Peter talks about things that grace accomplishes in our life. He covers a lot of things, but there's this thread of grace throughout his letters. If you go and read it now that you know all these things about Peter, you'll see it with different eyes. But at the very end of his second letter, he encourages his readers and us in the way of grace. He says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be all glory now and forever." And one of the things that I thought was, Peter does not say, be grown in grace, as if there's an end. But he says, but grow in grace, indicating that it is a process, a continual process and a continual shaping. In other words, he's saying, keep on receiving all that God's grace wants to offer you. Keep on trusting, keep on depending, keep on surrendering, and God's grace will show up in ways that we never thought possible and shape us, evolve us, and grow us. And so today, we're going to look at one more way that grace produces something in us, one more way that grace shapes us. We're going to see that grace produces a boldness in us to talk about what we have seen and what we've heard. To talk about what we've seen and what we've heard. So if you remember last week, we sort of pressed pause on Peter's story and pressed pause on that breakfast at the beach right near the end where Jesus has restored Peter. He's given him this strength and he said, now, Peter, the path forward is not always going to be easy, but don't worry, you follow me. He encourages Peter to just keep trusting and following the way of Jesus. And we talked about how Jesus leads from the front. His grace leads us forward. And so today we're going to follow Peter forward rather than looking back like we have for the last few weeks at experiences with Peter. We're going to follow him beyond that breakfast on the beach and see where grace led Peter in the next chapter of his life. We're leaving the shore on the Sea of Galilee where we've been these last few weeks, and we're going to travel to the busy city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was sort of the hub for the Jewish people, the Israelite nation. It's where their temple was. It's where they would travel for festivals. It's where the Passover took place, where Jesus spent his last week before he went to the cross. And so it's this kind of hub for where all of these believers would gather. And when we peek in on Peter's story today, there's some things that have happened that you've got to know about. Some really important things have happened, actually. After Jesus' death and resurrection, we know that he spent 40 days with his disciples on earth before he ascended into heaven with God the Father. And before he ascended, he gathered them and he gave all of his followers and disciples some instructions, and he made them a promise. The instruction was to go into all the earth, preaching about Jesus, making disciples, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The promise was that he would send the gift of his Holy Spirit. He's saying, I'm going to be back with my Father. I'm leaving you, but I'm sending you something much better. I am sending the presence of the Holy Spirit to dwell within every believer who follows me. And so that's exactly what happened. And if you know, we've been talking about in these last few weeks that when Jesus gives us an instruction, he has a plan for how he will give us the power to follow that instruction. And the Holy Spirit was the plan. When he sent the Holy Spirit would be the power that they needed to follow his instruction and to continue in the ways of Jesus. So about 10 days after Jesus ascends into heaven, the Holy Spirit comes like a rushing wind, and all of the believers are filled with this new power of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And with that Holy Spirit, incredible things start to happen. For Peter, he begins preaching. Peter preaches the first sermon to the first church, and all of these people put their faith in Jesus, they believe in him, and they're baptized, all of these new believers. And the thing is that Peter was preaching that sermon right in the hub of Jerusalem near the temple. So the authorities, the temple leaders and religious leaders called Sadducees, they heard Peter preaching. They were there listening, watching. And if you remember, Peter was previously afraid of those leaders. It's why he denied Jesus, because he didn't want anything to happen to him. His life would be threatened, and so he denied Jesus around that charcoal fire because he was afraid of those authorities. Now, here he is several weeks later preaching in front of them like it's no big deal. And so for me, it causes me to ask, well, what happened? What's the difference for Peter? And that's what we're going to look at together this morning. Because for us, the Great Commission, those instructions that Jesus gave us to go and preach the gospel and to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that is not just for Peter and the disciples. Those are instructions that Jesus gave to every believer, everyone who follows him. But a lot of times we hear that and we assume, well, that is for people who are professionally trained in the Bible, right? That's for the preachers and the pastors and the Bible scholars. And we think that's not something we can do. But I want us to look at this episode in Peter's life today to understand that it actually is something we can do. And I want to show you how. And so we're going to start in Acts 3. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, I would love for you to do that or at least take some notes, because you may want to go back and read this later. In Acts 3, Peter and another disciple, John, are on their way to the temple. And they're going there for the hour of prayer. They're going to pray at the temple. And as they get near the temple, they pass this man on the corner who's crippled. He's unable to walk. And he sits in the same spot every day begging for money. And when Peter and John pass by, he asks them for money. And of course, they don't have any money. And that's actually what Peter tells them. Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. And when I read this, I thought, well, we've got to stop here and talk about this for a second because this jumped out at me. Because Peter does not excuse himself for generosity because of what he doesn't have. Peter opts into generosity because of what he does have. He doesn't have money. He doesn't have financial aid for this man. But he says, what I do have is the power of Jesus. And already we can see that grace has been at work in Peter's life. Because again, when we first met him, he was complaining to Jesus about how hard he was working all night. Peter was still a little self-centered back then. And now we see him being others-centered. He has slowed down to see this man and offer what he does have. Several weeks ago, I don't know if you guys were here when Paul Hill and Terry Hill taught about communication, but Paul said something that has stuck with me. He said, grace slows us down. Grace slows us down. And that's exactly what's happened here with Peter and John. They're on their way to someplace else. They have a schedule to keep. They're supposed to be there at a certain time. But because of the work of grace in Peter's life, he's slowed down to not just see from a human point of view, like we talked about last week, but to see through God's perspective. He sees this man with grace. That's what grace does in us. It allows us to give up our own way and to see God's way, to see people. And people are always God's priority. Grace slows us down and helps us to see God's way. And in that, we're able to be generous, maybe not with finances if we don't have that, but we can be generous with talents, we can be generous with time, we can be generous with support, we can be generous with spiritual gifts. And that's what Peter's doing here. He says, I'll give you what I do have. And this man stands up healed. He's able to walk. Well, news spreads very fast because everybody in Jerusalem knows who this guy is. And so a crowd quickly gathers around them, and Peter capitalizes on the opportunity, and he begins to preach. Well, again, the authorities here, they're aware of what's going on, and they get pretty annoyed. They thought that they squashed this Jesus movement once and for all, and then Jesus came walking on out of the grave. And now here all of his people are beginning to do the same thing that Jesus was doing that they didn't like. They're teaching, they're healing, they're preaching. And so they get annoyed and they're threatening the powers that be because they started small. That little group of believers started small. But as the power of the Holy Spirit arrived and they began to preach and people began to believe in them, they're growing. And so the authorities have Peter and John arrested. They bring them into the temple courts and they begin questioning. They want to know, how did you heal this man? How is this possible? And Peter says, well, it's only one way this is possible, and it's the resurrection power of Jesus. He boldly declares it's the resurrection power of Jesus. And they're kind of left speechless because you really can't argue against a person who couldn't walk and now can walk. And here's what they notice. They observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained. And I want to pause right here on these two words because I think that uneducated and untrained is how a lot of us would qualify ourselves, at least when it comes to talking about Jesus, right? I can't talk about Jesus because I don't know enough about him. I don't know the Bible backwards and forwards. I haven't memorized any scripture. I can't lead kids and students because they might ask me a question about the Bible that I don't know. I can't lead a community group because I don't know all that I'm supposed to know yet. I'm not spiritual enough yet. I'm not qualified. I'm not equipped. Or we might even think, hey, I can't even pray with somebody out loud because I might say something dumb that doesn't make any sense. And we disqualify ourselves because we think we're uneducated and we're untrained. But I want to tell you something. These words resonate with me. I don't know if they resonate with you, but they resonate with me. This feels very personal to me because I, according to many standards of traditional churches, I'm educated. I'm uneducated and untrained. I have a degree, you guys, in early childhood education, which means I am qualified to teach pre-K through third grade in public schools. And yet, here we are. Right? You can laugh at that. I have laughed at it many times. Acts 4 dismantles the myth that we've got to have some special training or some type of dissertation in theology or a script memorized in order to talk about Jesus. The very thing that these religious authorities wanted to use to disqualify Peter and John is the exact thing that God chose to use to show his power. They're uneducated and untrained. And so the religious leaders say, well, there must be some explanation for why they are so bold. What is the reason? And they come to a conclusion. They were amazed and recognized they had been with Jesus. That's the explanation. Simply that they'd been with Jesus. Oftentimes when we think about being with Jesus, we think coming to church, opening up our Bible, reading our Bible, journaling, praying. And those are all spiritual disciplines that are necessary in our life to invite the presence of God, to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit, to tune our heart and our mind to him, to help us know him better. They're necessary disciplines for Christ's follower. But according to Peter and John, there was more to it than that. They had walked with Jesus, traveled with Jesus, ate with Jesus. They probably watched him sleep. They watched him walk on water. They watched him grieve the death of a friend. They watched him weep in agony over the anticipation of the cross. They watched him be cornered with questions from the Pharisees. They have been with Jesus in daily life, daily activity, to the point that these leaders have come to a conclusion that they've been with Jesus, which causes me to think that being with Jesus is more than just a calm, quiet moment with our Bible open or sitting in church. Being with Jesus is about centering our lives on Jesus in daily activity, daily rhythm, daily conversation. It's walking with him and staying with him through seasons of gratitude and seasons of grief, through our problems, through his promises. It's making Jesus a part of our conversation, having daily dialogue with him, ongoing dialogue. It's thinking about him. It's consulting him. It's asking him for wisdom in our parenting. It's asking for his input in our relationships, in our careers, in our finances. It's saying, hey, Jesus, what do you think I should do about this? God, what should I do about that? How do I respond to this text, Jesus? Jesus, I am so tired. Can you just give me a meal plan for tonight? It is consulting him in every area of our life. That is what it means to be with Jesus. And Peter and John have been through so much with Jesus that the religious authorities have concluded one thing. They recognize they've been with Jesus. For me, this is one of the most humbling sentences in the whole Bible. That they had been with Jesus and it was obvious and evident. And it makes me question, what if someone could come to the same conclusion about my life or the same conclusion about your life? Or what if people could come to the same conclusion about our lives? Not because we have all the answers or because we can recite the Bible or because we're perfect people, but because there is evidence of the work of grace in us to the point that it's overflowing through us. That we have invited his presence into our life in such a way that it's obvious and hard to ignore. What if we were to make our prayer, Jesus, let your presence in our lives speak loudly. That your presence would be so obvious in us that other people would notice. that it might cause them to say, I want to know about Jesus. For Peter, grace had been shaping him from that very first, because you say so. Grace had been restoring him, strengthening him, and it has become such a work in his life that he has evolved, he's changed, he's seeing people differently, he's seeing the world differently, and he's beginning to behave and think and act like Jesus to the point that even his accusers can see the difference. He's been with Jesus. I want to show you what happens after this because these religious authorities have to make a decision about what they're going to do with Peter and John. And they've just healed this man and everybody knows about it. And so they know if they punish them, it could mean bad press for them and they don't want bad press. And so in this moment, they just decide that for now, they're going to let them off with a warning. And the warning is, you must stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Or else, they threaten them. And Peter, being that dynamic Peter who we've come to know and love, says, with all due respect, we cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. He says, we can't help ourselves. We've seen too much. We've heard too much. We know too much. We can't stop talking about Jesus. And our authority comes from God. That's where their authority came from. That's where their power came from. And he says, we cannot stop. They have seen, in this case, Peter was specifically preaching about the resurrection. They had seen him suffer the cross and walk out of the grave. And Peter knows, that's not something I can just not talk about ever again. When you see something like that, when you witness that type of thing, that type of miracle, you've got to talk about it. And Peter knows he has something. He has a power. What he does have may not be money, but what he does have is something that will save people's lives, and he will not keep it to himself. And for us, we weren't there at the empty grave like Peter was, but if you follow Jesus, if you've put your faith in him, if you talk to him, if you worship him, if you call him Savior, you have seen and heard God at work. And so the question for us is, what have you seen and heard from Jesus? What have you seen him do? What have you heard him say? Maybe you've seen him work through forgiveness and reconciliation in a relationship. Maybe he has provided a comfort or a confidence when you needed it the most. Could be that he's just sustained you through a season of grief or illness. Maybe you have seen him heal. Maybe you have seen him answer prayers and provide in ways that just couldn't be explained any other way. I don't know what it is for you, but whatever it is that you've seen and heard from Jesus, that's all it takes. All of it counts. All of it qualifies you to talk about what you have seen and what you have heard. You are qualified by grace to talk about Jesus. And the thing is, when we have seen Jesus, when we have heard his truth, when he has changed our life, we have a personal story to tell. And that personal story is powerful. At Wellspring, we'll sometimes say there's power in your story. And one way that we can be generous with what we do have is to tell what we've seen and heard. Because you never know how talking about that experience, that episode from Jesus that you have seen and heard might change someone else's life. It might have the power to help them stand up and walk again. We can be generous by talking about what we've seen and heard. Every week we've been saying, God shapes every step of our growth. And this is just one more way that he produces grace, that he produces growth in our life, is to give us the boldness and the power to talk about it, to talk about what you've seen and heard. What have you seen Jesus do? Your story is powerful and it matters for life change for somebody. It matters, and you are qualified by grace to talk about it. I want to go back to Acts 4 really quickly and just show you how this story wraps up, because it's kind of mind-blowing, actually. The authorities send Peter and John back to the community of believers. They go back and they tell them everything that's happened about how they healed this man, or God healed this man, and how they were arrested and questioned and all of this. And then Peter leads them in a prayer. I want to show you what Peter prayed. He says, "And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great," what? "Boldness in preaching your word. In the face of persecution, in the face of fear, in the face of questioning." Peter did not pray for safety. I would have definitely prayed for safety. "Lord, please keep us safe. Please protect us. Please make their threats stop. Please don't let us be arrested. Please don't let me go to prison. I can't do it." But Peter didn't pray for any of those things. He led them in a prayer for boldness. Why? I think it's because Peter knew that grace would sustain them. He knew they had something that was too good not to share, and they had to talk about it. So he prays for boldness. Go back with me for just a moment to that breakfast on the beach in John 21. And remember that they're sitting around that charcoal fire when Jesus restores Peter from that place of shame, and he strengthens him. He gives him confidence. He says, "Peter, I still have a purpose for you. My plan for you has not changed. I believe in you. I have a hope for you." And then he tells Peter, "Things are going to get tough, and one day, eventually, down the road, you're going to give your life for the sake of the gospel." That is exactly what happened. Long after this moment in Acts 4, Peter was sentenced by the Roman Emperor Nero to crucifixion for preaching the gospel. And at his trial, Peter requested to be crucified upside down, saying that he wasn't even worthy to die in the same way as his Savior. That's bold. The same prayers for boldness that this body of believers prayed were granted to Peter years later. And instead of a life shaped by fear and shame and failure, Peter lived a life shaped by grace and faithfulness all the way to the end. Boldness. He's moved from this ordinary, know-it-all fisherman to a bold and faithful follower of Jesus because of the work of grace in his life. Grace has shaped him in so many ways that it overflowed through us. And so as we wrap up this series, knowing that God's grace shapes our growth, I want to just encourage you that what that means for us, what that means for you, is that you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to be platform ready and perfect and have a perfect way to talk about it. You just get to talk about what Jesus has done in your life. You just get to talk about what you've seen and what you've heard. And when you do that, you are following his instruction to go make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You are spreading the gospel. You are giving hope to a dark world when you talk about Jesus, when you share what he's done. Grace qualifies you to do that. And so what if this body of believers, what if as Wellspring Church, we made our prayer together, "Jesus, let your presence in our lives speak loudly and boldly"? What if we just said, "We're going to be so about Jesus, we're going to be so obsessed with what he's done in our life that we can't stop talking about him to every person we get to. It would change our community. It would change your family. It would change your neighborhood. It would change your friend group. It would change your place of work. If we just declared we are going to be so bold and passionate, so crazy for Jesus that we can't not talk about him, it would impact people's lives. So I want to challenge you as we wrap up to do one bold thing this week. Ask for God to show you a way that you can boldly talk about him or invite someone or take one bold act of obedience, one step of obedience. And when you do, grace will meet you there. And God will work in ways that you didn't even think were possible. Because you said, Jesus, because you say so, I will. We're getting ready to pray in just a moment, and we have a time of response, as we always do, and our prayer team will be down here to pray with you. If you want someone to agree with you in prayer today, sometimes we need that. We need someone to agree with us for boldness. We need someone to agree with us for confidence. We need someone to agree with us for the assurance of saying yes to his path for our life, and they'll be here. They'll do that. You can take communion if you want to, but I just want to invite us as a community of faith, as this body of believers, to pray for boldness together. I'm gonna ask us to do something a little bit different today. I'm gonna invite you to pray this prayer with me out loud, that we might see the boldness that was granted to Peter and those other believers be given to us. So would you stand with me? And I'm gonna lead us, and I would just encourage you, if you are so compelled, if you're comfortable, can we pray this out loud together? Jesus, let your presence in our lives speak loudly and boldly. Let's say it one more time. Jesus, let your presence in our lives speak loudly and boldly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are obsessed with you. We're crazy about you because of what you've done in our lives. It's never about us, God. It is always about your grace. It is always about Jesus. God, I pray that our hearts would burn for you, that we would be so compelled by what you've done in our lives that we can't ignore it, that we have to talk about it, because we know the world needs your hope. We know they need your power. We know they need your light, and you have commissioned us through the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to talk about you, to share you with the world. And God, we are just surrendering in this moment and depending on you for boldness, and we invite your presence to move through us in such a way that other people will come to the conclusion that we've been with Jesus. Jesus, let your presence in our lives speak loudly and boldly as we go forth. In Jesus' name, amen.